The military as a whole is in the process of building 133 cyber mission teams with responsibilities for offensive cyber operations, defensive cyber operations, and operating DoD's own networks. The Army will contribute 41 teams to that joint effort out of a cadre of soldiers it's building under the auspices of Army Cyber Command, which formally stood up just 3 years ago. So is that cadre big enough? Lieutenant General Edward Cardone, Army Cyber Command's commander, says that question is impossible to answer right now.
I've been kind of pushing on, let's get demonstrated capability out there, and then we're going to find out things we know and we don't know. And when we have that, then we can adapt our organizational structure. I'm arguing within the Army that the entire cyber force should be relooked at on probably about a two-year basis. I personally think that we're on the inflection point of some pretty amazing technologies coming into the operational sphere. I mean, just in cloud computing, continuing explosion of mobile devices. I mean, the impact of Mr. Snowden and what that's done to the community in terms of insider threat, the continued really rapid development on SCADA systems and what that means to cybersecurity. When you start putting all these things together and you try and predict out a couple of years from now what size force we need, I'm not sure that we can really do that. What I do know is it takes a whole team. We got to get the best people possible.
Cardone says it's taken a few years to get the Army's initial set of cyber operators trained and ready, and he's comfortable with the service's current plans to build up its cyber force, which cover the time period up to 2017. But he says the Army needs to be willing to adapt those plans to moment-to-moment circumstances.
I have talked to senior officials that the structures that I just talked about, like reexamining your structure every 2 years, having an acquisition strategy that operates inside of a two-year cycle, having all of these other things. I have discussions with Mr. Krieger, the CIO G6, all the time about this, that the processes to manage capabilities in this domain, and I'm talking all capabilities, including human talent, the current Army processes aren't capable of keeping up with this kind of speed. There is recognition of that, but our processes aren't set up that way. So the institutional adaptation that General Perkins is talking about, I think we're starting to see some movement in this area. There's recognition of this.
One particular question surrounds the Army's use of members of the National Guard and Reserve to perform cyber missions. Many of those members work in IT fields in their civilian jobs, and the military knows they're a huge potential source of untapped talent for cyber missions. But Cardone says the elite cyber teams the Army is trying to build are not particularly well suited for part-time work.
The level of training that some of these operators get require continuous work on the net. And what I mean by this, they complain about going to the warrior leader course for 4 weeks because that's 4 weeks away and things really evolve in 4 weeks. And they feel very behind. And so a 52-day training model is not going to work for this.
Instead, Cardone says he'd like to see Army hiring systems change so that those people can be brought on board as full-time Army civilians.
There is some discussion on lateral entry. And how would we do that? Are the Army DA hiring civilian processes in today's environment good enough for lateral entry to get the super user? Probably not. We need a little different structure. And when I ask for a different structure, which the Army G1's looking at, it's like, well, we don't have legislative authority for that yet. Well, let's ask. Let's ask for this kind of authority. And so this is the kind of innovation that I'm talking about. It's just not innovation inside the operations in the domain. It's the institutional domain to build it.
For active duty soldiers, Army cyber leaders say they are making progress toward training and retaining a skilled cyber workforce. But it's still too early to tell whether those soldiers will be lured away to more lucrative jobs in private industry before the Army's substantial investment in their training pays off. 2 years ago, the Army created its first occupational field for cyber specialists. Sergeant Major Rodney Harris, the senior enlisted advisor at Army Cyber Command, says he thinks many of his soldiers will take a comparatively smaller paycheck because the missions they perform in the military simply don't exist in the commercial world. But he sees another problem. The current Army personnel system is set up to punish soldiers for specializing in network warfare and sticking with it.
One of the challenges that we have is we have to help the Army understand, we have to look at cyber soldiers a little bit differently. So the Army has some programs that say if you stay in the same place for, 4 to 5 years and you don't get promoted, then we're probably going to look at you for promotion stagnation and maybe separate you from the Army. And initially, that's what's happened. We've thrown some of our soldiers because we require them to stay in the same place for 5 to 10 years to be really effective. We need them to stay there. And at the same time, there's only a certain amount of growth that we're going to be able to grow within a set team.
Right.
We're exactly opposite of what the Army thinks is right. In terms of a cyber soldier, it's 100% right. We need to have them in place for 5 to 10 years, and we need them to be able to understand that they're only going to go from, you know, maybe E1 to E7 in that period of time, and then we'll have to let them move on to a different organization or a different type of field that's still working in support of the Army cyber mission, but gives them the opportunity for growth. So the Army's got to look at that a little bit differently, and they know that now. The Army staff is heavily involved. Our Resources Command are looking hard at what we're doing with our cyber soldiers to make sure that we're doing the right things to take care of the investment we've put in them.
When it comes to recruiting the cyber workforce, Army leaders are quick to point out that much of the buildup that's happened so far has come from within the Army, and many of the members were doing something completely different before they became cyber warriors. They are not computer science degree holders from MIT. Colonel Jennifer Buckner is the commander of the 780th Military Intelligence Brigade, the Army's first large-scale unit dedicated to cyber.
So for us, for the 780th specifically, SIGINT is really our foundation. It's our core competency. And certainly SIGINT analysts have a proven record of transitioning successfully to cyber at scale. But we've also used a number of different assessment models for initial entry, for service recruitment. We are agnostic in terms of MOS and rank and things like that. But those models have proven to be a pretty good start. But we've found that it's as much art as it is science. And we've proven that we can take good people with no formal intelligence training, technical education, or experience, and train them for cyber work. They can be really great in this domain because if they are adaptive and agile leaders, they understand operating in a complex environment. And I'd highlight, for example, one of our first company commanders who was a history major, and there was nothing in his paper resume which would have indicated a competency for cyber work. And yet he was one of our first company commanders to also be trained and certified mission commander to lead a team of specialists in operations. So, again, it really does come down to good people.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.